Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Skincare with Friends.
This is a trigger warning for descriptions of human cruelty. If you're of sensitive nature, you may wish to avoid this episode.
Hello and welcome to Skincare with Friends with myself, Nia Patton.
And me, Natalie.
Hi.
Hi.
So today we're going to just go straight into it, I think. Should we just smash in?
Okay, fine. Because yeah. You know who we are.
Yeah. Fine. I'm Nia and I'm a cosmetic medic. I'm a clinical person, I'm a dentist and aesthetician, and I am a skincare person on the internet, and my colleague is Natalie.
Oh, that's what you're talking about me. Yeah. I'm not any of those things. I'm a lover and a fighter. I'm a joker. No. We've been doing this podcast for 4 years now.
Shit.
So, you know, I'm just the layman. Who's learning lots on the way.
Yeah. And today we're learning about more about Albert Kligman.
I keep saying Joseph Mengele. It's terrible, isn't it? Yeah. That's the first name that comes to my head now.
Yeah. Yeah. He is.
Many similarities.
Yeah. He's very similar to Joseph Mengele.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really similar. Mm. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the non-tretinoin experiments today. Mm-hmm. So... just to recap, last time, his experiments began in Holmesburg Prison in 1951, and they went all the way until 1974. 23 years of experiments. I had to do that calculation on my phone's calculator because I'm thick. I can't even do simple. I was like, oh no, I just do it on the phone. 23 years. Ranging from cosmetics, toothpaste, athlete foot creams, poison ivy and oak treatments to radioactive isotopes, hallucinogens and biological agents.
Yeah, that's just the worst one, isn't it? It's, well, it's all They're pretty all really bloody bad. Awful,
even,
but yeah.
I couldn't find a source for it, but one of the inmates was saying that their teeth started falling out after the toothpaste experiments.
Oh, okay.
Which you'd assume would be pretty benign.
Hmm.
No,
they put shit
knows.
In that.
Yeah.
What would they have put in that to make your teeth fall out?
I don't know. Like, as a dentist, I can't think of anything much other than, like, sulfuric acid.
Something to make the gums, like, drastically recede.
Yeah. That's like, even if you smoke, your teeth don't just fall out in a few days.
Oh, God, that just makes my teeth hurt.
Yeah.
Just thinking
horrible.
About it.
Yeah. So, to quote Captain James Kinslow, who started working in Holmesburg in 1965, both inmates and guards say that you can recognise a Holmesburg inmate decades later by the distinctive scars from skin burns and patch test. If you ever saw the guys on the beach, you'd know where the hell they'd been.
Yeah, someone was describing them as having like zebra-like almost stripes across their backs.
That's normal scars, like as if somebody done it in a very prescribed way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah, absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, just a note, in 1968, 85% of the prisoners in Holmesburg were black. And I think that the abuses were race-related in the sense that the prisoners were other and less... you know, important.
Yeah.
Apparently, I think somebody said that the white prisoners, there were some white prisoners, were sort of ushered towards the less dangerous tests by the people in charge.
God.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it? I mean, we said this on the last episode, but it really is. I mean, obviously, he gave lots of... interviews to say that this is what we did and I can't believe I got away with it. Great time, such good days. But really it's thanks to they're not even whistleblowers, but one or two people in the, working in the prison at the time that we actually know as much as we do about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think
if it wasn't for these Alan things would have Hornblum,
been, yeah, mm. they would have been set fire to in a bin somewhere, mm. wouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, the people who did them mm-hmm. thought that, you know, said out loud that
yeah.
nobody was harmed.
They wouldn't have been believed.
No, yeah.
Crazy.
It's bloody awful. Yes. So if you imagine for a moment that you're devoid of empathy and humanity, in a way you can see why a prison holds such a great population for study subjects. They have a very controlled environment and lifestyle, reliable movements, and you know exactly how long the men are going to be there for the study, and you can prevent them from using whatever stuff they might buy in the shop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they can't just wander off and do something stupid,
yeah.
and start smoking or whatever. So, yeah, normal groups of people just, you know, decide to move or get pregnant or want, you know, change their diet. But these prisoners couldn't, so they were just sort of in the prison.
Yeah.
Almost waiting for a psychopath to find them.
Yes.
Yeah. So in the beginning, so there's different levels of experimentation. So the experiment sort of, Albert Kligman was in charge of the experiments. I guess he designed them
mm-hmm.
and he got, you know, offers from other companies and bodies to carry out experiments for money.
Mm-hmm.
And then he all the sort of actual carrying out of the experiments pretty much were carried out by either students or other inmates.
Okay.
So there's a lot of...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he wasn't
just him.
Right.
Yeah. There was like groups of inmates who were...
That's even more bonkers though. Yeah. He's just setting people on each other.
Yeah. Yeah. People who didn't know what... Not scientists, basically. Yeah.
Really think he cared too much about that.
No.
That's what the great quote was from the beginning. He was like, sometimes genius, sometimes bloody wrong.
Yeah.
Hardly a scientist sometimes.
No, exactly. Yeah. You'll find out more about that.
Apologies for the banging. It is
it's bonfire.
It's not even bonfire night anymore. No. But Guy Fawkes Night, 5th of November.
Yeah.
People in the UK are setting off fireworks willy-nilly.
Yeah, sort of. In and around November and October, it's bonfire night.
Yeah, for a month.
Yeah.
Poor animals.
Yeah, I know, the doggies are not happy.
Cats don't give a shit.
No, my cats are pretty much deaf. So they don't
right, care. No, yeah. My cat doesn't care. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so in the earlier days, the skin experiments were ringworm... In the earlier days, there were skin experiments devised by Kligman... there was ringworm experiments, nail bed stuff that we said last time that was really harrowing.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
No. Once the word got out to the wider world that there was a doctor performing experiments on prisoners, other companies and organisations realised that there was a way they could pay to use the hundreds of men for whatever grim experiments they fancied carrying out.
So did that become nationwide then? I mean... Or were they just saying to Kligman, we'll pay you, you do this? Or why weren't loads of scientists with absolutely no scruples, empathy or a moral compass doing it?
I think maybe there probably were other scientists doing this kind of thing, but he was particularly bad.
And notably. Really happy to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a man for hire.
Okay.
And he didn't care about the people he was experimenting on enough to... you know, stop and think, let's not take that experiment because that's bloody horrible.
And it doesn't do anything, I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So 33 different companies employed Kligman to perform experiments on 153 chemicals. Companies including Johnson & Johnson, Dow, Pfizer, Merck, Hoffman, LaRouche, I don't know what that is, Helena Rubinstein, Klein & French.
Christ. Is Helena Rubinstein still going?
I don't think so.
It was until
I remember
recently.
It. Yeah, in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a bitch.
Yeah, she probably had no idea. But
Do you think?
I don't know. I don't know her. I don't know her at all. I don't know who she is. So a former prisoner and patient recounted how they used my body, and the wording of this is quite... odd. They did things to me that were inhuman. I feel less than woman because the things they did to me. This brought me pain, a lot of pain.
So I felt so inhuman, I almost felt like a woman.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I mean, poor man. All yeah, due but, respect, but the wording.
But the fuck man.
Yeah. Christ.
I've read that in the last transcript and yeah. I was like, oh, that's a typo. No. I felt less
than... less than
didn't even feel like a woman.
Yeah.
Shania Twain would be up in fucking arms.
Damn. Feel less than a woman.
Oh. Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's disregard that man's okay. statement. About mm-hmm.
I mean, the overall impact is the same. Yeah. But, you know, we'll take the offence yeah, out there.
Less, it'd be better if he said less than an animal or a dog.
Quite.
Or, yeah. Such experiments did not simply affect the well-being of individual inmates, but also the health of entire cell blocks due to experimentation with biological agents.
Oh, my God.
Such as Hong Kong flu. Yeah. Hong Kong flu, also known as the 1968 flu pandemic, was a flu pandemic. The outbreak in 1968 and 1969 killed between 1 and 4 million people globally.
Wow.
One of the most deadly pandemics in history.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 to 4 million. COVID killed 631 million.
Did it really?
Apparently.
Wow-wee.
Yeah. I know. So okay. not as deadly as COVID, but pretty deadly. In 1968, there weren't as many people on the planet.
No.
No. So common was the experimentation that the 1,200-person prison facility, around 80 to 90% of the inmates were experimented on.
Oh, my God. Yeah, what were those other guys doing? Just hiding?
Yeah, just going, no.
Or just being white, I guess, and just yeah, being like, I know.
Being yeah, tipped off. You don't right. you don't want to join those yeah. experiments. Those that's for the black guys.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. So this is quite grim. This out of everything yeah. is quite grim. Everything is grim, sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In March 2022, so earlier this year, Johnson & Johnson published an apology in the BMJ, the British Medical Journal, for their part in some very dangerous experiments. The drug company Johnson & Johnson has expressed regret after court documents unsealed in talcum powder litigation showed that it funded a 1971 study by Clickman in Pennsylvania prison inmates, most of them black, were injected subcutaneously with chrysotile and tremolite asbestos. Yeah. They injected asbestos. Johnson & Johnson paid for Clickman to do that.
What happened to the inmates?
I don't know. They wanted to compare the mineral's effect on inmates' skin versus talc, which is a key ingredient in the company's popular baby powder. The crystalline form of asbestos had the biggest effect on inmate skin, causing granulomas or cells clumped together in a raised area. So it's like growth.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Johnson & Johnson have always been implicated yeah. in some quite heinous stuff over the decades, haven't they?
Totally, yeah. They're not...
Especially talc-related, right?
Yeah, talc and yeah. ovarian cancer.
It was ovarian cancer? Yeah. Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because my mum's best friend died of ovarian cancer and she used to use... Gosh. She was a bit overweight and she used to use a lot of talc.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so there was always the suspicion that wow. maybe that had something to do with it.
Yeah, my yeah. mum was a talc fiend.
Yeah.
So I said, just stop.
Don't talk.
Stop. No. Don't talc us. Stop talking us.
Stop talking the children.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, some people do. I remember like, yeah, I've seen my... I think it was my sister-in-law seeing her talking her baby, just chucking loads of talc over. It's like, okay, just, that's odd. Yeah. Do I need to I'm not talking my children. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
But no, I don't.
God, I just thought it was an 80s thing. I didn't realise people still talked, to be
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, it makes it easier for you to stick clothes on them, I suppose.
I guess.
They're all slippery.
Just dry them.
Yeah,
just pat them dry.
Just struggle. Like,
oh, yeah. So Johnson & Johnson, yeah.
Johnson & Johnson, bad. Yeah. In literally injecting asbestos into people to see what it did compared with talc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What the Fuck. Yeah.
So, and just the outcome was asbestos bad, talc good, though. I don't understand what the point was.
Yeah, what do you need to do that experiment for?
I could have done that for you.
Yeah, without doing it.
Yeah, I could have just said that was bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So the apology only came about after the company was forced to reveal information about the experiments during a completely separate legal case.
So, because they seal documents for up to 50 years, can't they?
Yeah, so they had to unseal.
Oh.
And that came out.
Wow.
So, you know, why, yeah, like they're apologising is so empty.
There's another, I don't know if it's going to be along the same sort of scale of the talc accident of Johnson & Johnson, but they've recorded loads of dry shampoos, haven't they, lately?
Have they?
Because of benzene.
God. Yeah.
But the FDA said they were just using an overabundance of caution, so who knows?
Yeah, but, you would think so.
Yeah, but also chemical hair straightening products as well, apparently, have been causing cancers too, which people have only just become aware of. I don't know what's... It's strong chemicals as well in hair relaxants, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's happening right now.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
God. So the next section, I just sort of copy and pasted statements made by the prisoners about their experiences with the experiments and what happened to them.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's not a lot of this information.
Yeah.
But in Alan Hornblum's book, Acres of Skin, he gets lots of interviews with the inmates.
Okay.
And, it's quite startling. So, starting with the patch tests, they were the most common tests. Probably the tests for to check whether cosmetics are irritant or whether they're called spots. You know, we were talking about the comedogenicity, which led to this whole thing. An inmate called McGovern commented that he saw some inmates get really messed up in the tests, like the time some guys on a shampoo test start to lose their hair.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Stop it.
Like, I guess that's the reason that we have decent shampoos.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, there was another one about shampoo that I'll see if I can scroll down to. Another experiment called for 20 prisoners to have Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo dropped into their eyes over a 24-hour period. The discomfort of such an experience was worth $3 to each man.
Oh, my God.
24 hours? Who ever uses shampoo like that?
To be able to call it a no-tears formula, though.
Yeah. That's why it's a no-tears formula. Mm-hmm.
Because someone has ingested through their eyeballs...
Yeah. 24 hours worth.
Litres of baby shampoo.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrendous.
It's bloody awful. Another prisoner said, the first test nearly killed me. It was so painful.
Oh,
God. I nearly went through the wall. I had a patch put on my back that covered a large area. It was a 10-day test and I wasn't allowed to take a shower.
Oh, God.
He says that he received $10 or $15.
Yeah, I mean, what would have happened if an inmate had just said, I'm not fucking doing it, I'm just take this patch off?
Yeah, I think they did, yeah. It gets to that. Some of them just cheated.
Yeah.
They used to just stick their patches up against the wall. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Call it a day. Thanks. Give me my $15, but I'm not.
I think there was
this.
So much of that you can't even take the test results seriously.
Well, yeah. Especially they've got everyone doing them on each other.
Yeah. So, you know, those comedogenicity tests the results are so variable.
Yeah.
Possibly because
the
people they were doing the experiments on weren't doing them.
Yeah,
taking the things off. One of the more unusual experiments that Withers Ponton agreed to was what he called the gauze test. With no anaesthetic, he lay on a table while two young doctors from the University of Pennsylvania cut 2 1-inch incisions on each side of his lower back. They inserted gauze pads into the wound and then stitched up the incisions.
Oh my God.
10 days later, Ponton returned and the doctors reopened one wound, removed the gauze pad and restitched the wound. After another 10 days, Ponton was brought back for the same procedure on the other incision.
Mm.
He was never told the purpose of the exercise.
What was on the gauze pad?
I don't know.
Not just it, just a
yeah,
a gauze pad.
Is it just a gauze pad?
Is it soaked in something?
He wouldn't know, would he? He wouldn't have been told.
Okay.
He was never told the purpose of the exercise, and he accepted $20 for his trouble, $10 for each cut.
And can you imagine no painkillers, probably?
No pain, really. Jesus. Yeah, nothing. He's still angry, because now he's got all these scars all over his back.
But also, just every time you look at your body, you'd be...
Yeah.
Reminded.
Yeah. What you did for the money. And we get to
what was
all
done
of that
to you. Yeah.
Money stuff later. And how these people are just abused. Like, yeah, they were paid money, but... And yeah, like, Kligman had said, oh, well, you know, we bettered them because we gave them money that they wouldn't have otherwise had. Mm-hmm. And they used that money for, you know, things they needed.
Mm.
But, yeah, that's true. But they were permanently scarred.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Traumatised.
Yeah. So, Ron Keenan, a lifer at Greaterford Prison, who spent 34 months in Holmesburg, said while he was in the late 1960s, while he was awaiting trial for a murder of a policeman, I looked like a checkerboard with patches and skin discoloration on my arms, back and chest. I was on a lot of the suntan tests because I was light-skinned, but the patch tests really irritated my back.
Ugh.
And I had burn blisters for months.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, suntan tests? I don't know. I think they were, like, irradiating them with UVA.
Oh, okay.
UVB. Yeah. Yep.
Grim.
Grim. The milkshake test was a favourite among the inmates. Each day, selected inmates went to H Block and drank a rich, creamy-tasting milkshake, something like today's diet drinks. The test lasted anywhere from 30 to 90 days, depending on the results from each inmate.
Mm.
Two types of milkshake were given out to the inmates, a vanilla-flavoured concoction for the thinnies.
Oh.
Excuse my language in a second. And a chocolate one for the fatties. I'm sorry. At first, there was a problem with the milkshake test. The first 3 weeks, the fatties gained weight and the thinnies lost weight and suffered dehydration.
Oh, God, someone switched the shakes.
Yeah, there was a mix-up. Well, the milkshakes were being passed out and it took a while for the lab to work out the bugs.
So someone had Complan and the other one had SlimFast.
Yeah, and they gave SlimFast to the wrong people.
Did you ever have Complan?
I've never had Complan. No, I have. Oh, my God. You've just given me a memory. Because yeah. My dad used to bring it home from work for free because he's a doctor.
Yeah.
So he used to give us Complan for a fun
Complan
treat.
Complan picks you up. Do you not remember the adverts of just a sad old lady and then she drinks Complan and she's like happy and chubby again.
Why is it called Complan? It's a horrible name.
Terrible.
Mm.
I just remember it was very cardboardy. That's all I remember.
Yeah, like, bleh.
Mm.
This is kind of... And we liked, as children... We were, you know, desperate for any kind of sugar. So we were like, this is nice enough for us to enjoy. Yeah. But not very nice.
Sugary cardboard.
Oh, my God. Oh, have you ever done SlimFast? As a little aside. A break from
I don't think I've been on the SlimFast diet. I think I've had SlimFast.
Yeah, you've had it like a drink.
Yeah.
Like,
a part of a Boots meal deal when I'm on my break at Faith Shoes in 1996.
Also eating a sandwich and drinking the SlimFast drink.
I think it's like a SlimFast out of a can.
Yeah. They have it in America.
It probably came from America.
Yeah.
It's called SlimFast. You know, these very awful sounding diet drinks. Sorry, Americans, but they usually do come from your country.
Yeah. It's a bit like when you're doing... Like the egg and wine, was it?
The egg and wine diet.
The egg and wine diet that we said from the Vogue 1970s.
Yeah. Like, Chablis.
Yeah. Mm. Preferably Chablis. Mm. Yeah. What episode was that in?
You'll have to go back because I think you posted it on your Skincare Friends Instagram. But
yeah, it's on the Instagram.
Please refer to it. It's very good.
So funny. Anyway, let's go back to this. Right. So the next experiment we're going to hear about is called the sweat test.
Okay.
As an inmate called Williams refers to, they placed inmates in an overheated chamber, after which their armpit glands were cut for examination. Yeah. In another test, sutures were made on his body to see if they would dissolve.
Mm.
In a keloid test, some stuff was injected into his back and then removed bit by bit. He claims to have part of a cadaver implanted in his back to see if it would grow.
He's gone from sort of Mengele to Dr. Frankenstein. Mm. Like he's just, what part of it? Like a dead person's ear on your back?
I don't know if it was a fresh cadaver or an old one.
Mm. I'm thinking of an ear. I don't know why. It's just
because you're thinking about that rat with the ear growing out of it.
That's what it is.
Yeah, so they wanted to see if it would grow, but after a couple of days, his body rejected it.
No shit.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, again, normal people could have told you this.
You just know that.
It's
logical.
Yeah.
Yeah, Williams recalls participating in tests of Hong Kong flu, poison ivy and poison oak. I bet that kills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the patch tests, he says, were the easiest to endure because each time he returned to his cell, he, like the other inmates, would hang the patch on the wall. Yeah, well done, Williams.
Cool guy.
Yeah. There were a few tests that even Williams declined.
So Williams was known to just take it.
Yeah, he did loads of stuff. Yeah. He remembers guys with big things attached to their faces and foreheads in what inmates called the Cyclops tests.
Okay.
I didn't do that. I was afraid of it. I don't know what... I couldn't find out more about the Cyclops test.
Right.
I, searched and searched. What was attached to their face? I don't know.
Just things, yeah.
Things?
I think, but, you know, if it's coming from him, he's just...
Could be anything.
He's seen and felt some shit by this time.
Yeah.
You know. God bless him if he doesn't have full clarity, like full recall what happened to him in those.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I can't see any record of what might have been attached to any of their faces.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I don't like to think, because, you know, if they think injecting asbestos is okay, then God knows what else they think is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't do the liver and lung biopsies.
Oh, no.
No. Because they look too scary and dangerous.
Yeah, I can't say I blame him there
either. And he describes needles about a foot long.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah.
I suppose they'd have to be.
Yeah, they would to get into your lung and liver. Yeah. Okay, so Captain Gugna, would you say?
Okay, I have my glasses on. I'm really impressed by your eyesight because even with my glasses on, I can't read that.
Oh, really? Mm-mm. Oh, God. G-O-U-G-N-I-A.
Oh, yeah, Gugna.
Yeah. Now in his 70s, spent 25 years working in the Philadelphia prison system before retiring in 1978. He can quickly recall a long list of inmate experiments that included the usual shave creams, mouthwashes, deodorants, detergents, and the unusual women's lingerie and soda water. What the?
So you just put them in sexy clothes. With you, the inmate, you'd be like, can I do that one?
Yes. I'm just going to look... soda water one, please.
The worst case scenario is I look sexy. Yeah.
That's not good for a prison.
Though. I suppose not.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Although the soda one, I can imagine like waterboarding with soda water.
Yeah, God knows what they did with soda water. Yeah. Let's face it.
Yeah, I'm not really that keen on a soda.
So, yeah, this Gugna... This Captain Gugnard, who's a prison worker, he recalls loads of different experiments, so he's quite a handy person to interview. So, yeah, so there was, you know, normal stuff, and then women's lingerie, soda water. Oh, as with other guards who witnessed unusual activity on Holmesburg's H block, he recalled one eerie scene after another. He remembers burn tests that left bad scars on their quadricep muscles.
Mm.
Yeah.
So hold on, where are your quads?
Backs? No. On the shoulders.
Okay.
Not on your shoulders, your quads. Yeah, your shoulders. The device used to burn the test subject.
I mean, that's your thighs, isn't it? Your quads.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quads, I'm thinking
It's the top muscle in your... traps. Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Shows that
We're not gym bros, that's why.
No, I'm not a bodybuilder at all.
Like
I think
Natalia
my quads are in my shoulders.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So I did notice her face shape had changed.
Did you?
When she was doing...
Yeah.
Sorry, quick break.
Yeah.
It's nice
to have a break,
it's a good thing.
It?
So there's a Dr. Natalia Spearings who is kind of like the enfant terrible of the skincare world because basically, according to her, you only need... I really like her.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You only need sort of Vaseline and Tretinoin and everything else is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
So everyone...
She pours scorn over everything.
Over everything. And in a way, I think, actually, you have massive points.
Yeah.
And she's an esthetician that works in sort of Dubai and London.
She's a dermatologist.
Dermatologist.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, she is. She's a doctor. And she...
She can prescribe you some...
Yes.
Some fat and juicy,
yeah.
Like 10% hydroquinone or
yeah,
something.
Bonkers things in Dubai.
Yeah.
But also she's very present on Instagram especially. Mm. And she has lots of sort of, you know, stories. And I was just looking at her from, you know, she usually just records from her office. And I was like, yeah, face has gone really angular.
Mm.
Like a chin. And I was like, oh, that's really strange. And then she just came out and said... Yeah, yeah, I've, so she's basically, yeah, a derm that works over, you know, two countries, has just published a book in the July just gone called Skintelligent, which I haven't bought yet, which I will, but it's just going to be two chapters on Vaseline and
Vaseline, yeah.
And maybe bodybuilding, but anyway, and then she's just got her pro card, so she's not just like started her foray.
Did you see the photograph?
Yes.
Oh my God.
She's incredible.
Incredible.
I mean, so she just got her pro card, which apparently is kind of...
That's a really big deal.
A really big deal because she won best in category that she was not expecting. I don't know
about
bodybuilding.
Watch Killer Sally on Netflix.
Oh, I was just about to start watching that.
It's good. Okay. Yeah, but yes, it talks about the weightlifting world.
Right.
And it's very difficult.
And
to
how you just
card.
Go from being... Yeah. An amateur to a pro like that.
Yeah, that's a big step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this woman clearly is one of those people that just doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
And is constantly looking for that. But anyway, kudos to her. I think she's incredible.
Yeah, well done, Natalia. That's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway.
It was a nice little break from our topic of conversation.
It is. I think we should put jingles in between.
From the ray gun that was used to burn patients.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So they specifically had a device for making burns in these men's backs.
Okay. Yes.
No legs, wasn't it? We decided quadriceps were legs, didn't we?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yes. So the burns went deep into the skin. I don't know how the inmates submitted to that. Gugnan periodically observed the doctors applying various salves to the burns.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, they were specifically burning them in order to apply things to the burns to see if they worked. He remembers inmates walking around with devices designed to collect skin and perspiration. This might be the Cyclops thing. 1 to 1.5 inch stainless steel cups strapped to their forehead. So they're wandering around with metal cups on their heads.
So is that the device that would administer the burn or the...
No. So ray guns, and then they had salves on, and a completely different experiment.
Right, okay.
There was cups taped to their head to catch sweat.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Not just different. Sitting there burning you on your head. I mean, to be honest, you could... tell me anything in the next paragraph now. And
you believe
it. Like, yeah, they used to get lions to come in and just bite the heels.
Yes.
And I just go, oh, yeah, that's, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, that's it. The lion test comes.
Yeah.
No, there's no lion test.
Okay.
Phew. Yeah, and then he recalls scalp transplants. Unsuccessful attempts to rejuvenate hair growth by moving inmates' hair from the back of the scalp to the front. The experiment, so they had a go at hair transplants.
Which are fascinating. Hair transplants. Yeah. You watched these.
Yeah. They
are
very, very
fascinating.
Delicate operations.
Very delicate.
I doubt that the hair transplants they were doing in this prison were the delicate operations.
Not the Wayne Rooney results that you see.
No, indeed.
These
the
days.
Elon Musk level of intricacy, doubtful.
Mm.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, hair transplanted.
Yeah, the experiment, he did, and he tried to hide those photographs of him being bald as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
Just be bald.
I know.
Bald guys are, you know, it's
fine. Yeah. So an experiment that left a particularly strong impression on Captain Gugnan was one that nearly resulted in the deaths of 7 inmates. He believed the experiment involved liver biopsies. which he claims began in the early 60s and were quite common.
Mm.
But one weekend, 7 patients almost died, and everyone was in a panic because the doctors could not be located.
Right, so presumably this is when it was one of the free-for-alls. They were just having anyone do a biopsy.
Yeah, so, you know, they'd obviously been working on these prisoners, doing very dangerous things to them, but there was no support. There was no one looking after these prisoners during the experiments at all. You know, they were just left on their own. It was... Yeah.
Oh, my God.
There are medical professionals to experiment on someone and then leave them.
Yeah.
To potentially die.
Yeah.
It's just unthinkable. They absolutely just treated them like they were rats.
Mm. Yeah.
It's disgusting. So, a different inmate, Ron Keenan, he said, "I got a needle in my spine for $7.
Oh, God.
Wrong. They put a chemical in, but for some reason it didn't work.
Good,
and the experiment was cancelled.
This kind of reminds me a little bit of Jeffrey Dahmer just willy-nilly injecting things into people.
Just having a go, see what happens.
I don't know why, but out of all of those things is when apparently he injected hot water into someone's...
Yeah.
And that just seems like the most painful way to...
He tried acid and it was a bit much.
Yeah, they're still wandering around. It just sounds like this level of laissez-fairness, isn't it? Just like, oh, fuck it, if he... See what happens.
See what happens. There's something in his spine, doesn't know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, and one pill test designed to quicken the sun tanning process.
Okay.
Keenan doubled up in pain with cramps like he wouldn't believe after swallowing 4 pills. They explained to him that this was something new coming to the market and he would have to go into the exercise yard for 20 minutes every day for a week or two in order to catch the sun's rays.
Cool. Right.
Yeah. So Keenan doesn't recall if he developed a tan, but the terrible stomach cramps are hard to forget.
Is there... Like, I'm not making up, there is a pill, isn't there, that accelerates time? Because I'm sure the only way is Essex, the whole cast, eat them.
Eat them like biscuits.
And turn into carrots.
Yeah. So, you know, that all went on, but, you know, quite a lot of the prisoners were just messing with the results because they weren't doing it properly, taking their patch tests off. Yeah, it says, Al Bronstein, a long-time prison reform advocate, says some of these studies were scientifically worthless because the prisoners were running a long con on them.
Oh yeah, because it's the prison, definitely the prisoner's fault that it's not scientifically valid, rather than the fact they're just doing like, you know, bum biopsies and
women's lingerie.
I love it.
I want to know what it was. So, you know, if that wasn't dark enough, we're going to get to some other dark things.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. Okay, so radiation is the subject we're going to get onto next.
It's quite heavy, that.
It is heavy, but we don't have very much information, so I'm not going to say all that much about
it. It's heavy, but it's quick.
Yeah.
Let's just get it over with.
Yeah. Kligman wanted to play with radiation.
Of course he did.
So that's something we know.
Psychopath.
He loved playing with radiation. And without the acquisition of the appropriate licenses and safety measures, he went about doing so. He was interested in radiation as a cure for ringworm, and he'd previously used radiation to successfully treat the scalps of small children and wanted to explore the energy more fully.
Mm.
So the children did go bald after the experiments, but, you know, he thought that it was successful because they didn't have ringworm anymore.
Yeah, they just didn't have any body hair either.
No.
Just all radiated off.
Radiated, yeah. Okay. So we don't have any record of what exactly he did, but we know that he had acquired radioactive isotopes because he got this license and I think he'd forged a signature of an official to get it. And when the official was asked, "Did you sign this?" he said, "Nope, never heard of the guy." So he had radioactive isotopes, and when they looked into it, he wasn't storing them correctly, and he wasn't doing anything correctly, no safety measures, and the bodies in charge told him to stop it, and you're not having any more.
didn't get into actual trouble then for that.
No, just told to stop fraud. Doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
I know. Just well, he didn't really get into trouble at all ever.
Well, no.
No.
But you know, usually with these like mad, cackling criminal scientists, it's usually just a relatively innocuous thing that gets them. But do you know what I mean? It's just the fact that
it could be like he didn't fill in the right form.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, nothing got him.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Got away with everything.
Mad.
Yeah. So dioxin is the next topic. So Dow Chemical and the University of Pennsylvania joined together to test a dangerous chemical on the backs of the Holmesburg prisoners.
So is Dow Chemical related to Dow Corning?
I don't know.
In Barry?
I don't know. No idea. So nearly six dozen inmates were purposely exposed to something formerly known as 2,3,7,8 tetrachloro dibenzoxazole.
You know it's bad news when it starts with just a shitload of numbers.
AKA TCDD, AKA dioxin.
Oh, no.
And it's a byproduct of the manufacture of a herbicide, 2,4-T. Okay. So the substance has been linked by scientists to cancer, birth defects, and fetal cancer.
Oh, God.
Do we need to be having that in our lives? Anyone's lives?
Nobody needs that. No.
Yeah. So a Harvard professor was quoted as saying, dioxin may be the most powerful carcinogen known to man. It's also used as Agent Orange in the Vietnam War with horrific consequences, which you mentioned briefly last time.
We did, and that was just... You know, that needs its own episode. Obviously, not on a skincare podcast.
No, somebody else can do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so this is a picture of Viktor Yushchenko, the Ukrainian president that was poisoned with dioxin, presumably by Russians. And he has a particular appearance of lots of very large blackheads all over his face.
To the point where he gives off a very dark grey...
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah, it almost looks like heavy metal poisoning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of handsome before, all right, nice in the face. Yeah. And afterwards, he looks like a different man. Looks terrible. Lots of very black, dark blackheads. And this is known as chloracne, and it's particular to dioxin poisoning.
Wow.
So this chloracne, this dark blackhead thing, was something that Kligman was trying to recreate on the prisoners with increasing doses of dioxin.
Okay.
You know, bearing in mind that it causes fetal cancer. You can give your baby cancer by being exposed to it. He decided to try and, enjoy that experiment. Okay. Dow Chemical... they'd been a outbreak of this blackhead chloracne in its factory, so it wanted to investigate that more fully. So obviously, who do you call when you want to investigate a poison?
Yeah,
you phone Kligman and say, hey, do you want $10,000 to find out about it? And he says, yeah, sure, give me some dioxin and I'll stick it on there.
You just squirt it at him.
Yep. Okay. So he started with really low doses on the prisoners' skin, on their foreheads and backs. So the dosage was 0.5 micrograms, and the company were happy with that protocol.
Okay.
And they got the results back from that experiment, and he found no chloracne at all.
Okay.
None of the participants had any chloracne. And so then Kligman went back to do another experiment. They were like, yeah, try it again. tweak it, whatever. And he increased the dosage by 456 times.
Just why not a little bit
More? Yeah, like just do a little bit more.
Just, tweak it rather than...
Yeah, you're, just put it all on. Hundreds and hundreds of times more dioxin. And I think, yeah, I don't know if he got any chloracne off the prisoners, but he reported back to Dow Chemical. Dow Chemical were horrified.
Oh, they went, we didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they went, whoa, 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 whoa.
You've used all the dioxin.
Did that.
Okay.
Yeah. They were horrified and ordered him to stop. No more experiments.
Okay. They do own Dow Corning in Barry.
Okay.
Mm.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I think Dow Chemical are really murky.
Yes. Everyone thinks Dow is really murky.
Good. Okay. Yeah. And even they were horrified.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like living near there.
No. Good God. How's bowels?
That's horrendous.
It's horrendous.
If you make them... sort of, you know, bulk at your sort of lack of scruples, then I think you're clearly doing something wrong. Yeah. You've upset Dow.
You Mengele bastard.
Yeah.
So next set of experiments is the army experiments. So these are the experiments that the army employed him to perform.
Mm-hmm.
So it was after, you know, it was after World War II and the army's thinking, well, if there's another one of these world wars, we need some good chemical agents.
Yep.
So let's find out if we've got some by experimenting on prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
So they used LSD.
Yeah.
And atropine, which I think stops your heart.
Yeah.
And then there was a bunch of other things. So agent 282 causes grogginess. Agent 834, mental impairment and hallucinations. There's loads of different like code words and unpleasant sounding.
I, like, you know, when they say sort of like, you know, warfare on that scale and then they just say causes grogginess. It's seldom really that though, is it?
Yeah.
It's like grogginess with a side of...
Yeah, a side of cancer.
Really long term. Yeah, exactly. Birth defects and it's not going to make you go, where do I put my house keys? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty sick.
So there was one agent called EA3167 that was brought to Holmesburg for testing. Effects include both psychological and physiological. The most capacitating effect being a state of delirium characterized by cognitive dysfunction, hallucinations, the inability to perform basic tasks. Usual syndrome of physical anticholinergic effects are also present, including dilated pupils to the point of blindness, tachycardia, dermal vasodilation, xerostomia, which is dry mouth, and hypothermia.
Okay.
The effects last 5 to 10 days.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, it sounds horrible. It sounds frightening.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's not just a bad trip, is it?
That's, no.
Yeah.
Your heart's racing, your mouth's dry.
Oh my God. So you like 10-day panic attack then, basically.
Yeah.
That's what they're describing, aren't they?
That. Yeah.
Mm. Horrendous.
An inmate called Al Zabala recalls his experience with the army experiments. Zabala believes he doesn't know what he was given. He believes
He's gonna be a bit groggy about the details again.
Yeah, the details were very muddy. Yeah, yeah, the substance was 10 times stronger than LSD.
Oh my God.
He felt. He didn't know what it was. Yeah, and he was kept in a padded room for a week.
Probably a good thing. I mean, that's probably the only duty of care they showed there is...
Well, at least
they, they stopped him from sort of headbutting himself to death.
Well, there would be no good in doing that because they couldn't assess him afterwards. Except for the trip, he has no recollections of his actions during that period. I wasn't right for a month after the test. I was really subdued and quiet. I have problems swallowing food and a constantly dry throat. They put me on a liquid diet until I could swallow whole food again. And then when we finally came back to the population, all the guys on the study had to wear badges that said we were not responsible for our actions.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And if we acted up to get a University of Philadelphia personnel to come and get us, we had to wear these badges for a month. And once a week, we talked to psychiatrists.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it says psychs. So maybe not psychiatrists, who knows. They made us take paperwork and association tests to measure our psychological condition. A few guys came back to the population and didn't remember their names. Guys would fade in and out of consciousness. Guys would beat themselves up and punch themselves in the head.
Oh my goodness.
Some of the guys told me they had violent, ugly trips. Dogs as big as horses, worms like alligators. Horrible trips, being eaten alive by giant spiders. Living in the 13th century, one guy said he was hung and killed. And for a few years, Al Zabala's body would periodically break out in strawberry rashes. So horrible.
Wow.
Bright red rashes. Yeah.
I was just thinking about living in the 13th century and being hung. That's kind of...
Yeah, it's very...
Intense, isn't
it? Yeah, intense. Yeah. Yeah, so... There were tests of other agents. From what I've read, it seems to be the same stories. All the tests were carried out badly and there wasn't enough real medical professionals to accurately record the findings.
Yeah.
And they had to discount some of the results of these experiments because the prisoners had pre-existing psychological conditions.
Yeah.
So the army didn't take any...
After they ruined all of those people's... minds and psyches.
They couldn't conclude anything from
no.
it. The whole thing was futile.
Oh, God.
They just, fucked around with them.
Yeah.
To see what would happen. And then went, oh, well, this is all garbage.
Yeah.
What we found out is rubbish.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't decide that they were good weapons to use.
But what a waste.
Yeah.
What a waste of people's... minds.
Yeah.
Not that it would have been worth something if they did use it for chemical weapons.
No.
It should never have been done.
No.
It's just horrendous.
It's all horrendous. Yeah. So why did the prisoners do it? According to one prison officer, it was more money than a prisoner had ever seen before. That's why. But yeah. Alan Lawson was a prisoner of Homburg and described the city prison system and the reasons that the inmates were attracted to the medical experiments, and he said that 84% of the prisoners were untried defendants waiting for a court date.
God.
So they weren't even, you know, convicted of anything.
But that still happens now when you're waiting.
Yeah,
not the prison experiments, but I mean you can be held for months and sometimes years. And what's that awful one in New York, Rikers or somewhere.
Yeah.
Before you're even seen.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just can't afford bail.
Poor people just end up there because they can't get.
Oh my God, these people. Not that, you know, there's no excuse to do it on anybody, but the fact that, you know, they're just.
Yeah.
You know, these people haven't even had to.
They
haven't even been convicted of anything. Yeah.
No. On average, they're waiting 9 months and almost all wait in idleness because of lack of work.
Okay.
And the few jobs that are available in prison pay no more than 50 cents a day.
Okay.
This lack of jobs and the prison's failure to provide basic necessities makes the prisoners' need for money acute. Many of the men were waiting for they had to pay 10% of the bail. So £5,000 bail meant that they needed to make £500, and three or four tests at a time could bring you easily hundreds of pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so foot powder and deodorant tests will bring you £100 a month. Hand cream's £1 a day. You could be making £300 to £400 a month on the experiments, and you needed £500 to get your bail.
Yeah.
So, of course, why would...
Yeah.
You'd never get out otherwise.
Yeah.
Why would you not do it? Yeah, so, you know, they might get 15 cents a day.
And there's something really innocuous sounding about a hand and foot cream experiment.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds rather pleasant.
I like foot cream. My feet are dry. I'll do that experiment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also an element of, you know, the money bit aside, there's always an element of trust when you're talking to somebody who is a self-proclaimed scientist and researcher. You just say, well, yeah, that guy seems legit.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Yeah,
he's
like one
of
the most prominent scientists.
Absolutely.
So
you can just say, wow, you know, I was one of those guys that did experience for this, you know.
I was part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it started, like the experiments might start with, so they do a questionnaire and they get like 30 quid for doing the questionnaire, and then the next thing would be a physical, another 100 quid. And then the next thing they'd get paid for would be a mind-bending drug.
Yeah.
So they'd be treated so nicely during this process. Yeah. They'd be given, like, whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was questionnaires, physicals, easy peasy. And then all of a sudden they're suddenly given a drug, which was very, very scary. And so, you know, they didn't really see it coming because up until that point everything had been really pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was going to warn them
what was
on the table. So, and also the prison wasn't very pleasant. So the experiments were like a welcome escape. So they could get out of their prison cell, get snacks, have a nice time chatting to doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kligman himself said the money was an important inducement to the inmates. The inmates went out of prison with hundreds of dollars. But the program gave them much more than a source of income. Kligman emphasizes that it was a welcome addition to the prison routine, which is boring and repetitive and lacks any professional or cultural stimulation. We brought in people they could talk to, meaning like the staff. Program fostered greater social activities and it was an antidote to boredom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Hair loss, immense pain.
Yeah.
Near death.
Yeah, so it was like they'd be nice to them.
It's a change, isn't it? Yeah. It's just a change.
They get the prisoners, you know, before they were torturing them, basically. Just get them in, say how great they were. Thank you for being in our experiments. Here's a snack.
Feeling important, yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. Just sign here. It's just a
Don't worry about that.
It's a document. Yeah. It's official. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, the prisoners were illiterate, many of them. So even if the document had any information, they weren't given a copy. They couldn't read it, and they were just told to sign it.
Yeah.
And so they did. But, you know, that's not worth the paper it's written on. Just signing a document saying, yeah, this is cool, isn't that isn't valid consent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's say it was, there was no consent. Let's imagine there were no forms because the forms were useless. Yeah, so they needed money for bail, for attorneys, for phone calls home, for stationery to write letters to their family, for food. And, and they were bored, trapped in prison, no one to talk to and nothing to do and no nice food. So, of course, they blinking did it. And I can't blame them at all.
No.
No. How did the experiments end?
Thank God they did.
Thank God they ended. It's really annoying, even this bit. You're like, what? So, Kligman was investigated by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, in 1965, as his research program was so large. In July 1966, the FDA banned Kligman from conducting testing at Holmesburg Prison due to discrepancies in record keeping and not following conditions set out by the FDA for the testing of investigative drugs.
Okay.
Apparently, Kligman went into a severe depression at this point.
Oh.
Poor you. And was not seen at the university or the prison for lengthy periods of time because he was told not to do anything.
Okay. Yeah. But he was still practicing, didn't you say, until 1973?
Yes. So, So he appealed twice.
Okay.
And at his second appeal, surprisingly, he got reinstated by the FDA and he was allowed to carry on the experiments because he instituted a number of significant changes in his procedures.
Okay.
And this occurred also due to pressure from significant members of the medical community, namely Dr. Donald Pillsbury and Luther Terry. Pillsbury was one of the great names in the field of dermatology.
Great.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, university chairman of...
Who had ethics.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. So an important medical guy. And Dr. Terry, who was vice president of medical affairs at the university and was former US Surgeon General.
Okay.
Very important people, told the FDA, Kligman needs to carry on these experiments, so they'll let him get right back in there, get crack on with it.
No.
Yeah.
That's dreadful.
Yes. So it wasn't until 1973 that people started to really crack down on him.
So Pillsbury and other guy were really...
Terry, yeah.
That was their fault then?
Yeah. Yeah, so he had full support of his colleagues. You know, everyone around him was all for this.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not the only person to blame by any means. So, yeah, the experiments came to an end after the Senate Labour and Public Welfare Committee... Oh, it's boring. There's a subcommittee hearing on human experimentation in 1974.
Okay.
So basically, yeah, people had had enough of this shit. There was the Tuskegee syphilis study, which you'd heard of, which is really
horrendous.
Yeah, so they basically infected black prisoners with syphilis and
I think a lot of them weren't actually prisoners.
No.
They were free people who were just really poor. Who, again, there was a level of trust.
Yeah.
So they were landowners who were not... Yeah. And again, that was cross-generational then, so...
Yeah.
They would, you know, give birth to people with birth defects. I don't know what the defects of syphilis... I don't know what they are, but read about it. It's really depressing.
Yeah, I've seen photographs of their skulls.
Yeah.
They've got holes in their skulls.
Yeah.
And they just let syphilis run riot through these people and watched it.
Oh, and they'd already found the cure by that point as well.
Oh, they just they didn't could have bother. Cured it, but they just wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that...
I think that's just the most cruel point, isn't it?
Yeah.
They kind of could have just cured them.
Yeah, they didn't want to.
No.
That wasn't what it was about. So up until the early 1970s, about 90% of all pharmaceutical products in America were tested on prison inmates.
Wow.
Yeah. Such research diminished sharply in 1974 after revelations of the abuse at prisons like Homburg.
Mm.
And Kligman says, the sad demise of the program was... a very good case of the triumph of the do-gooders.
He'd be screaming woke at people if he was around in 2022, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
You bloody PC bastards.
You're all fucking woke.
Yeah.
Yeah. These do-gooders are those liberals, lawyers, prison reformers and opponents who made his experiments into a Nazi-like thing. All we did... was offer them money for a little piece of their skin, he said.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
And so a lot of their mental well-being and physical fitness and lives.
Yeah. Their fertility. God knows what they did. Who knows? Yeah. We don't have records, medical records of all of the prisoners. Mm-hmm. We don't have reports from everyone. And I tried to find anything about what happened to the people afterwards, and I couldn't, there's no sort of database or anything like that I can see. So what happened, what we do know about what happened after the experiment stopped, so we talked about Kligman's enterprises with his rhino mouse last time, and him getting tretinoin to market and then becoming very, very rich from off the back of the anti-aging properties of tretinoin.
It's not really a good advertisement for karma or anything, is it?
Nope.
I guess
karma doesn't exist. That's why we can't expect things to naturally happen the way they should. They're not going to.
Same with Joseph Mengele, didn't he just have a nice heart attack?
South Africa.
He went for a night. No, South America.
Yeah,
where lots of Nazis ended.
Yeah.
Because there's, I guess, no extradition treaty or whatever. And he just went for a nice paddle and drowned. Ugh. Well, he had a heart attack and just died.
Well, I hope a fish bit him on the willy.
Maybe. Yeah. We can hope.
So in 1998, Kligman said about the matter of the ethics of his experiment, to the best of my knowledge, the result of these experiments advanced our knowledge of the pathogenesis of skin disease and no long-term harm was done to any person who voluntarily participated in the research program.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, not that he checked on any of the participants
No.
long-term.
Wouldn't have
known.
No.
No. No. So, you know, there's not much, as I said, nothing much is written about how the inmates fared in their lives after that. There's one prisoner, Yusuf Anthony, who's sort of written some stuff and like done some interviews online. And over 40 years later, Yusuf Anthony still feels the effects of his experience in Holmesburg. At 64, he has to visit a doctor at least once a month. Mm. His hands sometimes swell to the size of boxing gloves.
Oh my goodness.
And his size 10 feet sometimes struggle to fit into a size 14 shoe. It's just a reminder of his contributions to science and medical achievements. He has undergone surgery to relieve his swollen hands, but his feet are seemingly indefinitely warped. Despite the high levels of anguish and pain Anthony had to endure, he is still grateful, since most of his friends who went through similar prison experiments did not survive as long as he has. He has to live in ignorance of his own condition, as he had no paperwork or information about the experiments he underwent.
Gosh. Yeah. Not given a copy of whatever the hell it was you were asked to sign.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No one told him. He doesn't know why his hands swell up, and he never will.
Also, doctors don't know.
The doctors don't know what it is. No.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
What they did to him. His daughter's got a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
So we'll put that link in the episode notes and on the website. Hopefully he's still with us. I don't know. It's very sad.
It is. It's really sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, what he said was, yeah, for a small, whatever his words were, you know, for a piece of their skin, we've been given access and knowledge. Unfortunately, he is right, though, because that's how we get here. If they're saying that up to 90% of pharmaceuticals and other treatments were made it to the shelves because of prison experiments.
But I guess he really ran with it, didn't he, though?
Oh, complete with impunity.
Yeah, but this is not just a delicate little test.
No.
It was well recorded.
Yeah.
The prisoners weren't treated with respect. The experiments weren't treated with respect.
Yeah.
He could have done better.
And the fact that most of them were tossed, like most of the results were tossed because they weren't viable.
Yeah.
So
it's not good science, you know. You can't forgive him for that.
So tretinoin was good science in the end. After he got his percentages right.
Yeah.
But can you imagine that? Can you imagine that pain?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no,
I mean, we can imagine a fraction of what that pain is like.
Like, I guess, like, yes, somebody did have to suffer. Something has to suffer for us to get to this point.
Yeah.
Cosmetically.
But it's informed consent, though, isn't it? That's the huge thing.
They weren't informed. They weren't looked after afterwards. Yeah.
Mm.
There were so many things missed and not done properly.
Yeah.
And, you know, why would you need to insert cadaver material into somebody's skin?
Yeah.
And gauze to know that that's a bad thing.
Or inject them with asbestos.
Yeah.
That's the bonkers one.
Yeah,
I mean, they're all bonkers, but, you know.
You weren't just sort of putting a droplet of like, try this shampoo, this no tears shampoo. Did you cry?
Yeah.
You know, do you mind if we put a bit of shampoo in your eye? Is it bad?
God.
No, they dripped it into their eye for 24 hours. That's a completely different thing.
Yeah, it reminds me of Clockwork Orange.
Yes, it's like torture. And what did they get, like $3 or something? Yeah, no, it's totally over and above what you needed to do.
Insane, isn't it? And the fact that the doctors can't pinpoint with that gentleman.
What the hell it was. Because there was so little documentation.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Dow stuff, they deep sixed it. So the university and Dow and the prison destroyed all of the records from the dioxin experiments.
God.
So it was one of the guys who was involved in the experiments reported this to Alan Hornblum.
Again, it's these whistleblowers.
Yeah,
it's thanks to them that we know anything.
Yeah, his name
but not
was
just
Rowe.
That.
Yeah.
The fact that these companies are still going wasn't enough to fold anyone or to sort of, you know, cause somebody to go out of business, was it?
Mm-mm.
Dow is still going strong. Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
Look up Helena Rubinstein.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, it was Mr. V. Rowe who worked for Dow.
Thank you, Rowe.
Who told us all about those experiments. Otherwise, we would never have.
It's very nice
anything.
Of you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Risking a lot, too.
Yeah. So, did anything bad happen to Kligman, or did the prisoners ever win a lawsuit? Not really, a little bit. So during the 1980s, several inmates filed suit against agencies involved in the experiments, including the City of Philadelphia, the University of Pennsylvania, Dow Chemical, and Kligman himself. One former test subject, Leodis Jones, received $40,000 settlement from the City of Philadelphia in 1984.
Okay.
And he has been an activist for the cause.
Yeah.
And he's not with us anymore, but his daughter continues after his death, and she has a Facebook page called Leodis_Jones.
Okay.
Head to there. In 1998, Acres of Skin by Alan Hornblum was published. And in October the 29th, 2003, 10 former Holmesburg inmates staged a protest on 22nd Street just outside the College of Physicians of Philadelphia while Kligman accepted his Distinguished Achievement Award.
Whoa.
Yeah. In 2000, 298 prisoners tried to file for damages. They brought a lawsuit. They brought a lawsuit for long-term injuries against the university and the City of Philadelphia and two pharmacological companies, Johnson & Johnson, Dow Chemical.
Mm-hmm.
And the lawsuit was chucked out because of the statute of limitations. So they didn't get anywhere with that. So, you know, they accused Kligman of violating the Nuremberg Code, which is the code that was created after the Second World War. So an ethical framework for experiments involving human beings, created after what happened because of people like Joseph Mengele and the experiments. So saying that we're not allowed to do that anymore. You have to treat people with respect and have informed consent. And Albert Kligman went against that code, and there was no informed consent. The people carrying out the experiments were not medical.
Yeah.
And, it was just bad science.
Yeah.
So he did breach the Nuremberg Code, and in my brain, he's as bad as Joseph
So Mengele. Had the statute of limitations passed then?
Yeah.
So way past?
Yes. Mm. Yeah, so they couldn't. The suit was dismissed.
Mm.
So at the time of the experiments, they'd signed documents, but they weren't worth the paper. Unfortunately, they just came too late. Otherwise, they could have gone to town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he would have gone from being celebrated to, losing everything. And
It just took so long for them. You know, these poor men to come to that
it's
point.
It's weird that there's a statute of limitations on such, on something as huge as that.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
Yeah.
But that's, I suppose there is on other horrible crimes too.
Yeah, I guess.
There is on rape and things, aren't there?
Yes, there is.
UK
which,
and
America. Don't deserve. They always deserve to be punished.
Yeah. Heinous.
Yeah, like child abuses and things.
Yeah.
You know. People who could only possibly think about suing after years of therapy.
Yeah, yeah. I just looked up Helena Rubinstein. So she was bought. So her company, she's been dead for like 60 years.
Okay.
Her company was bought out by L'Oreal, which caused a massive scandal because she was Polish American. Okay. She was one of the first ever self-made millionaire women. But L'Oreal was notorious, so she wouldn't have wanted the purchase, because L'Oreal was notorious for employing ex-Nazis on the run. What the fuck?
Jesus. It's like we're just, starting to head into this sort of murky territory of the big companies.
So can we maybe just do a little Skincare Friends episode on that murky history?
Yeah.
Because isn't that incredible?
Implying Nazis so on the
run. So in 1973, the company Helena Rubinstein was sold to Colgate-Palmolive and is now owned by L'Oreal. Takeover was to cause a huge deal of scandal as the founder, Eugene Schuller, had been a collaborator and in the aftermath became notorious for employing ex-Nazis on the run. Holy shit, that is fascinating.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah. And she was a Polish Jew, so...
Good God.
That's going to make a really good episode too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
I think next time I don't want to do anything horrible.
Yeah.
I want to do Q&As on the ordinary, please.
Yeah. Yeah, shall we? We're getting into mid-November. I think it's time to do Christmas picks, advent calendars, and all that sort of
God,
shit.
God, not advent calendars.
Well, you know, what are you going to buy for Christmas? That sort of stuff. Right, let's do that.
Sunscreen.
Yeah. Yes, more sunscreen.
Buy more sunscreen. So, and then the university. So, we're nearly finished on this, guys.
Okay.
I know it's hard. We've done it together. Yeah, so they didn't manage to get anywhere with the lawsuits. And they wanted the ex-inmate, so Leodis Jones, campaigning for reparations in any form. The University of Pennsylvania in 2021 came out with this sort of a raft of reparations, such as, you know, removing the annual lecture named in honor of Kligman, so that's over. They promised to sort of, you know, train more black people, scholarships for black people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the University of Pennsylvania has tried their best to sort of make up.
It's not reparations, though, is it? That's not a reparation.
No, so I'm not going to read out every single measure they took. But yeah. There are some measures.
They've tried to do stuff.
They tried to do stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
I'm glad
they tried to do stuff, but it's, not, you know, it's a bit shit anyway.
Yeah.
And on the 6th of October, 2022,
wow,
the city of Philadelphia finally made a formal apology. This is from the mayor, Jim Kenney, from Philadelphia. Without excuse, we formally and officially extend a sincere apology to those who were subjected to this inhumane and horrific abuse. We are also sorry it took so long to hear these words. To the families and the loved ones across generations who have been impacted by this deplorable chapter in our city's history, we are hopeful this formal apology brings you at least a small measure of closure.
Mm.
Yeah, just to sum up.
Just pay him.
Yeah, give them some fucking money, prick.
Just pay them.
Yeah. We started talking about this episode believing we were talking about a doctor who's done so much for the people who are suffering and ended with the knowledge that this man is, in fact, avaricious, Machiavellian, and psychotic. I put possibly psychotic in my script and I changed it to psychotic.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
No.
It is. And all of the powerful scientists and prison officials who were involved in the abuse and used the desperation of a vulnerable group against them. They broke the Nuremberg Code and the Hippocratic Oath. Now we are enjoying the fruits of their labour. The skincare that we love and we know to be safe is only available to us because of these experiments, and it is our duty to acknowledge the sacrifices that have been made. We are all too aware of the pain that animals have been put through testing, you know, everyone talks about animal testing and cruelty, but there were also human beings who were dehumanized and caused to suffer in the long-term process and development of our skincare.
Yep.
Made to feel like less than women.
Yeah, I was gonna say even.
Yeah,
he didn't mean it. He's had a shit time.
Yeah, know? Whatever.
Okay. He's probably made to wear lingerie at that point. He's just like, no, fuck this.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll include all of the sources and good some links to the Facebook pages, etc., in our website and on our Facebook page. And thank you to Alan Hornblum for writing an amazing book that really helped in the research.
Yeah. And all the other people that, you know, help bring it to light, probably at the cost of your careers, perhaps, to some extent.
Yeah.
and livelihoods. So yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the longest episode we've ever done.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's a two-parter.
Yeah, it could have been three, but I think enough. It's been giving me a headache.
We don't want to do a part three. We want to do something fun and silly and brainless next time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Join us for our Christmas favourites.
Our Christmas list. Yes. We'll do something fun next time. Something light, something silly. And thank you for bearing with us for this really heavy topic. But I think it's been really important to hear about it. And
great job. Great research.
Come and tell us what you think on our Facebook group and on our Instagram. And thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.